On Robin Hood Radio, it's nice to welcome back a guest we spoke to months ago about a book that was written by Tom Morrison, and that is A Torts Are Us. Well, since then, it was so long ago, there's a new book out. Tom, first of all, thanks for joining us today on Robin Hood Radio.
Thank you, Marshall, and thanks for having me.
It was very interesting, and listening to the humorous stories and the Torts Are Us and the first interview we did. But now, once again, there's not only Torts Are Us, the legal farce, but you also have a brand new book, and Please Pass the Torch, right?
That's correct. Yes. After I wrote the first book, a number of people said, gee, you really should write a sequel. I hadn't been planning to do a sequel, but a number of people suggested it, and I still had lots of material I had collected for the first book, so I thought, why not? And the second one, actually, I was able to write fairly quickly.
So let's talk about the minor differences between the first and second book.
Well, the first book started out with the protagonists are the Peters brothers. They're twin brothers, Patrick Peters and Prescott Peters. The first book starts out with their traditional legal careers in big New York City law firms, where they were doing interesting work and getting very well paid. But about a third of the way through the book, Patrick Peters, who's a much more adventuresome twin, suggested that they really should do something different. They should start up a plaintiff's class action firm where they could have a lot more fun and make a lot more money than they were doing in their stuffy big firms. And so the next two-thirds of the first book began their escapades as class action attorneys, and they got themselves involved in three or four farcical class action cases. The new book, Please Pass the Torts, really just picks up where the first one left off. The first couple chapters involve a celebration with one of their clients from the first book, and then they have a whole new series of escapades in the class action field. So it's really just a continuation. The same brothers bringing interesting, amusing cases, having lots of fun, dealing with wacky clients, wacky judges, and wacky courtroom situations.
Is this where they also deal with the wacky Russian government?
Yes. Yeah. The that was actually my favorite part of the second book. The other cases are all based on real-life class action cases that have an analog in real life. The Russian case was based on a real life episode. You may recall reading that a California congressman was caught up in a Chinese honey trap with a beautiful Chinese spy named Fang Fang. And it got a lot of publicity, and it turned out Fang Fang was actually entrapping dozens of other politicians and businessmen around the country. It was quite an interesting story. So I took that basic idea, turned the spy into a Russian spy, controlled by the KGB and the Russian government. And unlike the real life episode, I decided we really had to take this into the courtroom. The California congressman just suffered a lot of terrible publicity and getting hits in the media and social media, but there was obviously no lawsuit. I thought, why not turn this into a lawsuit? And so the Peters brothers, using their clever thinking, brought a class action on behalf of all the honey trap victims of this Russian spy. And they held a press conference and filed a class action lawsuit. And it ends with the Russian government asking for detente. The Russians wanted no part of a U.S. class action. They knew how awful class actions were for the defendants.
Now, it's interesting. I love the chimpanzees in the Bronx Zoo.
Yeah, that is based on real-life cases. There were a number of lawsuits in New York State over the last 4 or 5 years, various animal rights advocates attempting to liberate chimpanzees. Some were on farms upstate. Some were at the Bronx Zoo. But in all the cases, there were arguments that chimpanzees should have the right to bring lawsuits just like human beings. And the object in those cases was to, quote, liberate the chimps and move them to an animal preserve or a nature preserve down in Florida. And I took that idea, and the Peters brothers have retained Dr. Doolittle, a leading primatologist who is expert in talking to animals, and they've brought a class action on behalf of all the chimps in the Bronx Zoo, and Dr. Doolittle is their interlocutor with the chimps, and he talks to them and tells the court what he thinks the chimps want to do.
We're speaking once again with Thomas Morrison, the follow-up, past the torts. And what's interesting here is I'm looking at this press release, and I love this. The brothers put together a plan to revitalize Connecticut's poor cities by turning into Mecca for nationwide tort lawsuits. Of course, we have one of those cities in Winsted.
Well, we have a tort museum in Winsted. Yeah. What we don't have in Connecticut is a lot of economic vitality in our three biggest cities, New Haven, Hartford, and Bridgeport. And it just so happens that each of those three cities has a federal courthouse, but not a lot of major cases are brought in the federal courts in Connecticut. They tend to be just fairly routine cases. I had some up here when I practiced. But the idea is this. The state of California is a mecca for tort lawsuits. California has the broadest consumer protection law in the country, and the result of that is that lawyers from all over the country flock to California to file class action cases in consumer fraud cases. So the Peters brothers have this idea that we could do the same thing in Connecticut, and so there was a hearing of a economic development committee of the Connecticut State Legislature, and the Peters brothers present their scheme to have Connecticut adopt a really broad consumer protection law. There's a second aspect of this that also comes from real life. A very similar thing happened in a small town in eastern Texas, a town called Marshall, Texas. About 20 years ago, the town fathers got together, put their heads together, and said, what can we do to revitalize the economy of Marshall, Texas? And the answer was to turn Marshall, Texas into a mecca for patent suits. The U.S. Supreme Court had just issued a major ruling that for the first time said patent suits could be brought in any jurisdiction where the infringing product was sold. And so that opened up the possibility of patent lawsuits being brought anywhere. And so the town fathers of Marshall, Texas jumped all over this. They recruited the state's leading patent lawyer to start filing cases in Marshall. They took out newspaper ads and billboard ads touting the virtues of the patent system. And they basically enticed corporations from around the country to begin filing patent suits in Marshall, Texas. New York Times actually did an article about this about maybe 10 years ago, about how Marshall, Texas economy had been totally revitalized. New hotels, new restaurants, because when all these patent attorneys come to town with their entourage, they need places to stay, places to eat, places to get massages and other nefarious things. And so the Peters brothers present this idea as a way to revitalize Connecticut's economy.
And of course, this is all very humorous, but like you say, it is based on tort law, which you of course, practice in and are an expert in, and it's just a nice way to kind of turn around. I think people don't really understand all about tort law and what it is and what happens with it.
I think that's true. a lot of people say, well, wait, what's a tort? They've never heard of that other than the Viennese variety that you eat. And I actually have an episode in the early part of the second book where the hostess at a dinner party explains the difference between a Viennese tort and a legal tort. But a legal tort is simply a non-criminal private wrong. And it encompasses hundreds of different things. For example, a typical traffic accident, if you've gone through a red light or a stop sign, you're going to be sued for negligence. That's a tort. That's probably the most common tort that we have. But there are dozens of others. Medical malpractice, all those ads you see on TV by class action lawyers asking if you've had a recent injury or operation, they can help you get justice. Medical malpractice is a big part of tort law. Libel, slander cases, that's part of tort law. There's just a wide variety of cases that make up tort law.
Well, once again, please pass the torts, which is a follow-up to Torts R Us, and with Thomas Morrison. And by the way, if you want to find out more information, there was a podcast that was recorded for the Scoville Library and Noble Horizons, and that is available, obviously, at both those sites and more, where you can listen in and get more information. So are you going to keep writing, or are you going to cool it for a while?
Frankly, that depends on how this second book does. As I said earlier, I hadn't even planned to write a second one. But if the second one does well, and I feel I have one more in me, I might give it one more try. I'm kind of amused by where the Peters brothers are going with their practice.
All right. Well, my first chance to say Happy New Year to you and a great new year ahead, and keep us all entertained and informed at the same time.
Thank you very much, Marshall. Happy New Year to you and all of our listeners.